Blog Talk Radio.
AVS Media Demo. AVS Media Demo.
Good evening. Good evening to each and every one of you. You are now listening to The Drive at 5 Live, and I am your weekly host, Patricia McDowell, from the great city of Yonkers. I would like to welcome each and every one of you to The Drive at 5 Live, the weekly show that airs every Monday at 5 p.m., and each week, we will discuss health and wellness. We will guide you to the road to a better and healthy lifestyle with beneficial results. Before we call upon our guests for this evening, let us talk about some of our friends of the Drive at 5 Live. Do you know about the new Jewels in Yonkers? It's Jewels by Elan. They are a must-see destination store in Westchester County. Alan Edwards of Jewels by Elan has hosted many events in the store. Some recent events are poetry jams, charity events, in-store jewelry parties, book signings, just to name a few. All this is done with a Soho vibe. Alan features a line she designs, as well as some new and up-and-coming designers. It's a great place to shop and have a good conversation and perhaps a cup of tea. The low-key style makes browsing a pleasure. If you haven't stopped by yet, do yourself a favor and take a peek. You can call to make an appointment and schedule a shopping tour with friends. Visit their website at www.jewelsbyelan.com. That's jewelsbyelan.com or call 914-512-8578. That's 914-512-8578. Okay, another one of our friends is there's no place quite like the Dominican Republic. That's because it's history is the result of an unlikely mixture of influences. Nowhere else you will find a blend of European, African, and Native Taino Indian culture. Why do people come to the DR? Because of its oceanfront location and the breathtaking views. No matter what kind of visitor you are, the Dominican Republic has something for you. To experience this great location while staying at a five-star hotel, visit lifestyledreamvacation.com. That's lifestyledreamvacation.com. And I have to say, in 18 days, I will be there myself with a group of friends, and we cannot wait to go. Avon, the company for women, with the holidays fast approaching, many of us are creating our holiday gift list and checking it twice. If you are looking to buy a gift, clothing, for example, flip HD video camera or jewelry, then Avon is your dream one-stop shopping. You can shop at the comfort of your home. Looking to make extra money? Become an Avon representative. Call today, 914-447-1089. That's 914-447-1089. And our last friend of the Drive 5 Live is Artist International. Have you heard that Artist International has gone green? Just imagine keeping your family safe by using cleansing products such as green soap powder, using green household cleansers, using green dish soap. So if you want more information about Artist International, visit their website at bodymagic2go.com. That's bodymagic2go.com. And they have, in addition to the green products, they also have wellness as well as a host of reshaping garments, as well as nutritional products. So that's, again, Artist International, bodymagic2go.com. Well, we are really excited. You know, every time, you know, we have a show, at least once in a while, we'll bring someone on to just make our life a lot easier. And as you know, we're fast approaching the holiday season. And after the holiday season is over, then we have to think about taxes. So, and that can become very stressful for many of us. And you know that stress leads to a lot of disorders. So what we're going to have today is a wonderful certified public accountant by the name of Una P. Black. And she's New York State certified, I should add. And she has over 20 years of experience operating and accounting, as well as an income tax planning and preparation and financial service world in the great city of Mount Vernon. So we're going to look to see if, in fact, Una is on the line so that she can share all of her information and knowledge with our listeners. Una, are you there? Una, can you hear me? Una, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Yes. You sound a little far away. Una?
Yes.
We cannot hear you at all. It sounds like you are on a speakerphone to me. We seem to be having technical difficulties. Let me try another line.
Hi, Pat.
Una, yes. Hi. You had two lines open.
I guess so. I didn't realize that. I'm sorry.
Yes,
can
yes,
you hear
you
me
did.
Now?
I can hear you now. Yes,
okay.
I had tapped you in on the number that I was most familiar with board. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, Una, first of all, I'd like to welcome you to the Drive of Five Live, and I want you just to tell me, this time of year, you know, people are really thinking, buying gifts and getting ready for the holiday season, and then shortly after the holiday season is over, then panic go into panic mode because they have not prepared anything for their for their taxes. So that's the reason why I invited you to be on the show today, so that you can help us. Because from my understanding in our conversation, that it's not too late to plan, and then also you can start planning for next year.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That is correct. As a matter of fact,
No, because it tells you a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for allowing me to be a part of this presentation today, and I thank the listeners for participating. I'm really excited to be here with you today because taxation is my passion. And in my experience, if you plan early, if you plan, you can make the tax preparation process so much easier. It's even now, it's a good time now to take a look at stuff because you can, one can even now be trying to do things to make their tax situation better when it, before the end of the year. Because basically, if you wait until the end of the year, then there's nothing you can do to adjust anything. It is what it is at that point. So it's a great time now to begin getting ready to, one, see that you pay the lowest legal tax, and two, being prepared for the actual tax preparation in January or February.
When you say make adjustments, what kind of adjustments are you talking about when you say we can make possible adjustments on our taxes?
For instance, if you wanted to increase your itemized deductions, let's say, and you have a tax bill, a property tax bill, that's due on January 1st, go ahead and pay December before December 31st, and you're now able to take that deduction in December rather than waiting for another year to take it. So that's one. That's one that comes to mind.
Okay.
The same thing for income. If you have income that's coming in January 2nd or 3rd, I'm sorry, December 28th or so, push it to January. So it lowers your income for 2010. So that's what I mean by getting ready and doing, you know, at least itemizing and knowing where you are before the end of the year so that if there's any such measures that you can take, you will be able to take it before the end of the year.
Wonderful, wonderful. I know that my listeners are really taking notes at this time. Una, what about people who may want to make large purchases that they can benefit this year? For example, I know that there are deductions on car purchases. Is this a good time still to make that purchase?
Unfortunately, the sales tax, I imagine you're talking about the sales tax deduction on the car?
Yes.
That is actually not available for 2010.
Oh, really?
Unless you paid for it, you bought the car in 2009 and paid for it in 2010, you're not able to take that sales tax deduction. Before we go any further, I want to just make this point.
Okay.
Just to remind everybody that the information we're giving today is general in nature. The taxes are constantly changing, daily, practically, and they affect different people in different ways, depending on many, many factors. So bear in mind throughout the discussion that it's just for information purposes, and any if you have specific questions, I'll be glad to answer them afterwards. But of course, we'll have you. You'd be better served also to speak to your financial advisor and let them make the decision based on your own personal situation. Because certain things are deductible for certain people, and it's not for others. For example, it depends. Some things depend on your filing status, whether you're filing single, married, married filing separately, or head of household. Your total income comes into play as well, as does your age and whether or not you have dependents. So be on the lookout and say, this is the general information, but I need more. If I need more specific for my own personal self, I will speak to my professional. And I'll be glad to speak to anybody who is interested in doing that as well. I'll give you one example to just to highlight that. We have all heard that the tuition for higher education is deductible, yes? However, if your filing status is married filing separately, you're not allowed to take the credit. If you paid interest on a student loan, it's generally deductible. But if your income exceeds certain limits, then that credit is not available to you. All right. I hope that answers your question, Pat.
Yes. Yes, it did, Una. I actually got knocked off. So. I actually got knocked off the air, so I had to get back on. Sorry about that. Could you repeat that in terms of if someone buys a car now, will that make them qualify to add that to their taxes for 2011?
If you own a business yourself or are self-employed and you use the vehicle in your business, yes, you will be able to get a deduction for the business portion of that vehicle if you were to buy it before the end of the year. They have what is called a Section 179 depreciation, where you can write off quite a big deduction in the year that you place any asset into service, but it has to be within your business.
I see. Una, what types of, for the average person, you know, just the average homeowner or renter who may not necessarily have a business, but they're looking to make, reduce their taxes in some kind of way, what kind of thing can they look at and consider that should be added to their, that they should be collecting so that they can share with their accountant?
Okay. Generally, for the regular people, if it's not a business, just a person, of course, your W-2 is the first thing you take to him. What you can do is try to reduce your taxable income, you have to have what's called deductions or credits. A deduction is like mortgage interest if you own property. Real estate taxes, if you own property, charitable donations. If you tithe a church, that's a big deduction for most people. You may have medical deductions as well, but the threshold is 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. And
really, 7.5%?
So anything above the 7.5%, you're able to deduct. So I hope nobody's sick. I don't wish that on anyone.
Yeah.
To be able to deduct medical, but it's there if you do. In reference to something I said earlier, here's a good example of something that you can put to a different year to help you. If you know you're going to have a huge medical bill in 2011, then you want to forget doing any medical in 2010. Put it all off to 2011 and bunch them together in 1 year.
Oh, really?
Have the opportunity of maybe meeting that threshold. Because if you pay some this year, and then you won't get a deduction. And if you pay some next year, you won't get a deduction.
Right.
But if you were to bunch them together, it might work out to your benefit.
I'm sure that many of the people who are on the call, on the radio, listening to the show, are baby boomers. And with baby boomers, we're all now being faced with the tasks of being caregivers. Are there any relief tax breaks for those individuals who are on the phone, on the call, who have given care to their parents or whatever?
There are certain. It depends on who is paying for the expenditures. who is responsible for paying them, or whether the person that they're caring for is a dependent or not. There are many different features that would come in, so it would all have to be looked at. There's also medical expenses that you can deduct if the person is your dependent.
Would it be wise to make that person a dependent?
The person can be your dependent if, let's say, it's a parent.
Okay.
And you pay more than 50% of that person's upkeep. Then yes, that person can be your dependent. But if that person has their own income, then it's not. You will not be able to claim them as your dependent.
Now, would income be also, would Medicare or Medicaid be considered income for that person?
No, it would not.
I know so many people are moving their mother or their father back into their home.
Yes.
And paying for, not you want to say, but like, you know, senior care when they go to the senior centers and this and that, and then transportation for that. And then, as you all well may or may not know, sometimes they don't have the benefits that will cover medication, so they have to take, or the benefits that they have is not enough to satisfy. So they're taking that burden on as well. And I was just wondering, are all those things things that they can write off on their, legally write off on their taxes?
If that person can be their dependent, then their medical, their travel to the doctor, their prescriptions, as long as that person is their dependent, there is a possibility that those could be written off as well. They might even be able to deduct some of the care. If they have nursing care at home, in the home, they might be able to deduct some of that as well. It's possible.
Wow, that one! I'm sure that there's quite a few people who are listening to the radio show is happy to hear that, because I know I'm hearing it more and more each day how people are taking care of their loved ones, and the expense and the hardship that is beginning to cause on their financial conditions and their and situations in their homes. I got my hand raised, so I'm right before the head of the corral. You know, we wait until April 15th, and we're sitting in the office like everybody else, looking at each other, kicking our own selves, you know, underneath the table, saying why do I do this every year? How soon can we come in and file our taxes? And what are the benefits?
How soon to file it? Well, if we were to start doing what I suggested now, bringing in all your information to your tax preparer, tax professional right now, and get everything in as much as possible, only waiting for the actual documents to come in, you can get your taxes done February 15th, rather than until April 15th. And then at that time, everyone is stressed. It's busy. Stressful. You're not serving yourself well when you do that.
You're absolutely right.
Because anything can happen on that last day. You forget. Oh, I forgot something. Especially one thing that I've noticed in my practice, oftentimes people will get their taxes done, and then a year later, they'll get a notice from the IRS that, oh, you did not report this income from this source. And I would say, how come? And the person will say, they did not send me anything. It is up to the taxpayer. It is up to you and me to make sure whether I receive that tax form or not from those people, that the information is on my return. So throughout the year, we should keep track of everything that we do that would affect our taxes, so that if it gets lost in the mail, or they didn't send it to you or something, you don't wait another year to hear that you owe the IRS interest and penalties on the tax.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's another reason for just making sure, starting early and getting everything in, and not being afraid to wait and waiting until the last minute to get it done.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, how does one go about finding an accountant or a tax preparer, one that's reliable? What should we look at when we're looking for a tax person?
Okay.
Such as yourself.
Okay. Well,
tax preparer.
The good thing this year, or for some people it's good, for others it's not so good. All tax return preparers now who prepare returns for a fee are now required to be registered with the IRS and with New York State. And all returns have to be filed electronically, which means that the tax preparer has to be signed up to file electronically for e-file. And
mm-hmm.
the IRS is no longer sending out paper returns, so all returns mm-hmm. now have to be electronically prepared.
Oh, I love it, because I love paperless.
Yes, it's great, it's fast, and it's become, I know people are sometimes scared of doing it because of course it's the internet and everything, but it is fairly safe. I've been doing it for 10 years, and I have not had 10 or more years now that I've been filing all my clients electronically, and I've not had any issues with it. It's fast, it's quick, it makes sure the return is, there are no errors on the return mathematically and all of that, so it's pretty good. If you're looking for a tax preparer.
Wait, can I interrupt you?
Sure.
As you know, the show is being aired on the Drive at 5 Live on Blog Talk Radio, and it's worldwide. And so is this certification and e-filing, is that only New York State, or this is other states are also included?
This is the entire country.
Wow.
The entire country. And most states require you to do, the majority of the states also require the same thing, although not all of them as yet.
Okay.
But it's the federal wants everyone in the country to do this.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's if you prepare returns for a fee.
Right.
And
right.
charge a fee for it. Now, when looking for a CPA or an accountant or a tax preparer, I would say your best bet is to, they're all good preparers. There are all kinds of good preparers around. Get a referral from someone who has been with somebody for years, knows the person well, and can give you a personal recommendation. You try to use a CPA because, one, the CPA is licensed by the state and is accountable for what they do.
Right.
So that's a good issue. That's a good indication, I would say then. Although, you know, I'm not saying that there are no bad CPAs, but I'm saying that is a good indication that you'll get good service rather than a tax preparer on the corner.
Right.
And also just talk to talk to whoever it is that you decide. Interview a few accountants if you're looking for one, and get a feel for how they work, and then see if you feel comfortable working with that person.
Mm-hmm.
And test their knowledge also of the tax laws and tax issues. Just to give yourself that comfort level that it's not just somebody who's putting numbers on a paper. You
right,
know, someone
right.
who will guide you and tell you, show you what you can do legally to reduce your taxes.
And I tell you, that is absolutely, absolutely without a question, without the best advice, because I can tell you some accountant nightmares. that I've heard from just from friends and associates.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. Yeah. All right. I hope that will help you determine if you,
yeah.
you know, if you choose to, if you're looking for a CPA. As
mm-hmm.
Pat mentioned earlier, I've been doing this for over 20 years, and
mm-hmm.
I have references and whatever one needs. I have clients who've been with me for the 20 years, believe it or not. So,
mm. yeah. When somebody comes to you, what
yes.
do you, what's the first thing that you do when you have a new client? What's the first thing?
Well, the first thing is I get a background on the individual.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know where they are now. And
okay.
I also want to know, because I don't just do the tax return. I will look at things that they're doing too, and I'll say this, you should, here's a better way maybe to look at, to do something.
Mm-hmm.
But I will interview that person, ask them where they are now, make sure that
okay.
they're contributing to their retirement, make sure that if they can afford it, they are putting something away,
uh-huh.
make sure that their credit cards are zero if possible,
uh-huh.
and just the overall financial position, I'll go through with them and discuss that with
uh-huh.
them, as well as prepare uh-huh. the tax return and give them
right.
guidance for the coming uh-huh. year.
Okay. Oh, very good then.
Good.
Let me ask this in two ways. What should the client bring to you? And I guess when I ask you this question, I'm guessing I'm speaking for all accountants. What should the person bring to you? And what form do you want them?
Okay. When a new client for me, I ask for the last return that was prepared, would be
mm-hmm.
however many years old or last year's,
mm-hmm.
whichever the most recent return is that they filed,
mm-hmm.
their current year tax documents, of course, W-2s,
mm-hmm.
1099s, deductions, anything pertaining to tax for the current year. And
mm-hmm.
I also get identification because the social security card because of all
yeah.
the
mm-hmm.
I make sure because of all the identity theft that's been going on
mm-hmm.
I get all of that information
mm-hmm.
And then like I said we look at everything and we discuss you know their situation and I also ask them what do you want to see from an accountant what
mm-hmm.
are you looking for that you chose a CPA to have your taxes done. And I sort of work with them on that basis.
Oh, no, you know, I do a lot of, signing for
uh-huh.
individuals who are, you know, either buying a home or whatever. And one of the things I've noticed time and time mm-hmm. again, that you have mm-hmm. A family, husband and wife,
mm-hmm.
and they are... And they file separate tax returns. Is that wise?
Well, it depends. If they're living together as husband and wife, the only options available to them is married filing joint and married
uh-huh.
filing or married filing separately.
Uh-huh.
Now, with the married filing separate. Status, there are certain deductions, credits that may not be available to them because of the status.
Mm-hmm. Right,
right. But on the other hand, some people prefer not to be responsible for the other person's, let's say,
mm-hmm.
indiscretions, which would come into play if they file jointly.
Mm.
So they are willing to pay the extra or lose the credits just to have that
mm.
peace of mind of not filing jointly.
Okay.
So, yes, it's a personal issue, and there's nothing wrong with it, but just be just as long as they understand that they'll be paying more taxes rather than if they file. They could be possibly paying more taxes than if they file jointly.
If they file jointly.
Yes. Mm. What I do with people who want, who not sure whether or not they want to do that, I'll do both returns. I'll do it jointly and I'll do it separately, so they know. They can decide whether they want to go ahead and file separately or not.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so I know there's so much technology out there. There's QuickBooks, there's Quicken, people use Excel spreadsheet and this next. What would you recommend for people who now, you know, looking to buy the latest version of a program, a tax program, for you know, so they can keep up with their taxes? What would you recommend?
Is this if this is to actually prepare the tax return?
The keep record.
To keep record. QuickBooks
is
a very nice program for keeping personal records and it can do a lot for you. You keep it all year and make sure. The only thing, of course, is to make sure that it's kept up to date. You record all your transactions from your bank statement just to make sure you capture everything. And make sure it makes sense when you're looking at it once you're done, because it does a lot of. QuickBooks does a lot of things behind the scenes. So if one makes an entry that is not correct, it's not going to be correct just by putting it into QuickBooks. So
I don't understand. So if you make, so you have to, you, what you're saying, you, if you manually make a mistake entering numbers in QuickBooks, that you have to manually go back and undo what you've done?
Not exactly. What I'm saying is if a person does not understand how QuickBooks works and what they should be getting from it, it's easy to get lost in it. So my suggestion would be to get to have someone explain how the entries are to be made so that, you know, it's starts out correctly from the beginning, because simply because it's entered does not necessarily mean that it's entered in the correct place or in the correct way. For example, I know QuickBooks, if you use, let's say you went in and you put in that you had and you're using your credit cards, you have to go in and whenever you can enter the credit card transactions.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're paying the check, instead of just writing a check to pay the credit card company, you need to pay your credit card through QuickBooks. Mm-hmm. And if you do not allow QuickBooks to pay that credit card, then that credit card debt, the item that's there, the liability, will remain on the books all the time. I'm not sure if I'm getting too technical, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
One of the things I noticed, they have like QuickBooks. They have they have the Home Edition, Edition. What are all these different editions?
They just do more things.
Give your information too while you're at it.
Give my information. Okay, if the QuickBooks, there are different levels because of course there are different people all over the country are different. So if it's just yourself and your personal information that you're entering on QuickBooks, then maybe you don't need anything more than just QuickBooks Lite. However, if you are running a small business and you need more like accounts payable, accounts receivable, to enter credit cards and keep track of them, then you need more. You need the professional QuickBooks program. But generally for the homeowner, the regular homeowner, usually it's the minimum or the mini QuickBooks works just well, or even Quicken, which is sometimes you get free with your computer. Or you can buy the software in Staples or online, or you can get that kind of program just about anywhere. Again, it's a good idea to have your records on an ongoing basis, all ready all throughout the year, so you know exactly where you are. And by the end of the year, your tax situation is, you know what it is, and you're not surprised by getting a big tax bill when you do get to do your return in April. And remember, if the year has passed, if it's past December 31st, then there's nothing that you can do that will affect your taxes for 2010 at that point. So the earlier you get started, the better it is. My information, again, while I'm at it, my name is Una P. Black. My telephone number is 6914, area code 665-0726. My fax number, 914-665-0415. My website, upbcpa.com. I'll repeat that, it's upbcpa.com. And you can email me at una@upbcpa.com. I will now go into just a few general deductions that, deductions and credits. The standard deduction that is used by non-itemizers. Itemizers are if you can file a Schedule A to deduct expenses from your income, then if you're not able to meet the threshold, you can use the standard deduction. The standard deduction for a single person in 2010 will be $5,700. So if there is not enough expenses to meet that initial $5,700, then you're better off using the standard deduction rather than trying to deduct your expenses. Because the greater the deduction you have, the less taxable income you have, the less taxes you pay. All right. For the married filing jointly, it's $11,400, and for the head of household, it's $8,400. Single and married is pretty straightforward. The head of household status, however, is reserved for a single, unmarried individual with children living at home for whom the taxpayer maintains the home. So if in a husband and wife situation, head of household does not apply. It has to be married filing jointly or married filing separately. But I was just going through a few general items that, you know, just to help everybody. We just talked about the standard deduction. Would you like me to continue, or did you have?
Oh, no, please, please continue. This is very valuable information.
Okay. And just speaking generally again, a couple of years now, you were able to deduct property taxes, even if you were not able to itemize deductions. Well, mm-hmm. that is no longer available to you. You have to be able to itemize in order to take your property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Same things with the sales tax on a motor vehicle. You cannot deduct that for this year.
Mm-hmm.
The tuition credits are still available, as if you or any of your dependents is in a college or an institution of higher learning. It can be trade school also. It doesn't have to be college. You're able to deduct, or you could get a credit for some of the tuition that you're responsible for for this year. Whatever you were responsible for in 2010, it's possible that you may be able to get a credit for it. Whether or not you paid the tuition with cash, with a loan, or with credit cards. The same thing applies. And it ranges from $2,000 to $2,500, depending on your particular situation. Also deductible is long-term care insurance premiums. If you're paying, if you have a long-term care policy, you can get a deduction for that on the federal, as well as New York State will give you a deduction on that. The earned income credit is also available for lower-income individuals with or without children. The earned income credit is an extra actual dollars that is given to people in, who have children who do not make a lot of money. So, and the there are limits, of course, to everything. And for 2010, if you have one qualifying child, the maximum, based on your income, that you can get is $3,000, $3,050. If you have two children, it's $5,036. If you have three or more, it's $5,666. If you are not, if you do not have a qualifying child and you're single and make a small amount of money, the maximum you could get also is $457. Right? And the income levels for those, if you have three or more children, if you're making $43,353, you get nothing. If you have one, if you have two children, it's $40,363. And one child, it's $35,535.
Okay. Let me ask you this question, because I know this may be a little overwhelming to a lot of my listeners.
Yes.
And I know taxes change, the tax laws change from year to year to year to year. Is there a website where people can look at and just to know what they're eligible for?
Of course, they can always go to irs.gov. There's a lot of information there.
Okay.
www.irs.gov.
Okay.
And go to the individual page, and they can see what information is available. And if it's overwhelming. So, my feeling on taxes is, I know it's hard. It's a lot. But if you have a basic idea of what's happening, then you know if you make a certain transaction, if you do something specific, you need to let your tax professional know so that they can take the deduction for you or work with it to your advantage. But if you're not aware of what is available to you, then you will not know to let the tax preparer know.
That's exactly my point.
Right.
So it's better to be an educated consumer.
Correct.
For better words, than to go into a tax office blindly.
Correct.
Now, you know, I know some people go to places like H&R Block and Hewitt or whatever thing they call themselves.
Jackson Hewitt.
Yeah, you're right, Jackson. Do you recommend that? That seems such a mass market type.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And I'm sure there are very good preparers there. However, if the personal touch isn't there, the personal, if you have more than a W-2, an interest income from your bank, and maybe a couple of other pieces of tax information, I would not recommend going to one of those services. If you need a little more, if you need more than that, I would recommend that you go to a professional who can at least help you answer questions that you may have, guide you in different ways, Mm-hmm. You know, that's the only drawback that I would say to going to an H&R Block. You would not get that personal service and that guidance.
Now with the new law, each one of their preparers have to be certified as well. New York State is certified.
Correct.
Because I know that they usually give those classes around now.
Yes, they do.
And then they rush all these graduates into their program, but they're not necessarily at the one point they were not necessarily certified. So I guess now they do have to be as part of their coursework.
I'm not sure for this year because it's the first year how they will enforce that, but eventually I would imagine they would be. Have to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had another question for you. Now I just went completely blank. The main thing. What happens when, you know, you get that call, when you don't get called, you get that letter saying, oops, you're going to be audited. What happens then?
Okay. The first thing to do is not panic. Don't panic. The second thing to do is to open the envelope. I can't tell you how many people I've had who will not, they come in with the envelope unopened.
I guess wow.
If I open it instead of them, it probably feels better. But it's okay. Open the envelope. Mm-hmm. I take care of all notices for my clients. A lot of times it's just a matter of writing, just responding to them and giving them an answer for a question that they have. Audits, if they're going to audit you, they will send you a letter saying that you're, and they'll tell you what they're auditing, why they're auditing, and when they would like you to come in. You can always reschedule. You should have someone, a professional, going to the audit with you if you are ever called to go into an audit into the IRS office. Just because, not that you're not smart or anything like that, it has nothing to do with smarts, but the tax professional is used to the lingo, how knows how to present the positions that you have in a favorable way.
Okay.
Whereas you may think you're answering just a general question, but if you're not familiar with it and you answer in what way, which can be the complete opposite, then you have another problem there. So your best bet is to have a professional with you when you go to the audit.
Right.
If it turns out to be an actual audit that you're having.
I think I heard years ago something called a silent audit. What's that?
I'm not familiar.
I'm
not familiar with a silent audit.
Okay.
There's one that may have something to do with that is if, and I'm not so sure that they're still using those tactics today. But in years past, they could, if there was an issue with a taxpayer, they could actually walk in your neighborhood and look at your assets, ask your neighbors questions about you, and
wow.
go to yes, that was some years ago. That was happening, but I've not heard of that recently, where they can get, you know, outside corroboration for things. Bear in mind, though, with an audit, I know a lot of people I'm being audited. They're very scared. But if you keep your records and if you do not take outrageous positions on your taxes, chances are even if you're audited, there will be no issues because you will have your backup to show them that here is why I took this position on my taxes. Once you're following the tax laws and when you take those positions, then you'll be fine. But it's when you take outlandish positions and with no way of backing it up, and it's ridiculous, then that's when you need to worry. But I know most of us don't do that, right?
No, I'm sure. And that's why you need a professional tax preparer doing your taxes, because one, they have a your history.
Yes.
And ultimately, you know, when you have your tax form and you sign it, the individual, and then the tax preparer signs it, who's the one at the end of the day liable?
The
tax preparer or both? For
it depends. The taxpayer is generally the one that's held responsible by the Internal Revenue Service.
Okay.
However, if the tax preparer made a mistake, then the tax preparer would. It depends on the type of mistake. Also, let's say it was a calculation error.
Okay.
Then the tax. The thing is, you would still have had to be paid. If he had not made the mistake, you would have had to pay the taxes at the time when the return was done. So the fact that he made that mistake, he's responsible for any interest and penalties, but the taxpayer is still responsible for the taxes. Because no matter what, he would have had to pay that taxes at the time when the tax return was prepared if the return had been done correctly.
Mm-hmm.
If the tax preparer, however, puts things on the return that is fraudulent or that the taxpayer is not aware of, believe it or not, the taxpayer would still be liable.
Wow.
But the tax preparer can be held liable and can be fined and can go to jail also.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
In recent years, that has happened quite a bit. Where preparers on the side of it, you know, anybody out there doing taxes, they will include a host of deductions that are not... that the taxpayer has no business claiming. This helps the taxpayer get a huge refund.
I just want, well, we're almost coming down, almost close to 6 o'clock, but one more question. You talked about the new law that's now in effect that tax preparers have to be certified by New York State. So that means that somewhere in the office, when people go to their tax preparer, that license should be visible?
Yes, they should have some paperwork visible. You should be able to ask them for it, and they should be able to produce it, as well as they should have the County of Westchester in particular has a set of tax preparer requirements that must be presented to the taxpayer also to see how he's protected. And that must be displayed and must be given to the taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you can request the information from any tax preparer that's doing your taxes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very good, and yeah, that's actually very, very good to know. Now, I know you said that as long as you're collecting money to prepare the taxes, that you have to now be certified New York State. What happens if people go to Uncle Johnny and Uncle Johnny does the whole family and he's charging everybody $25 to do the taxes? Mm-hmm. He still too has to be certified, correct?
That's hard to say. I would think you have to be, for this year, I think you have to do 10, a minimum of 10 returns for money. But I don't know that, I can't tell you specifically if he only charges 25 each, that it would he would still be responsible. But the law says if you prepare at least 10 for cash, for a fee, then you're subject to this law.
Okay. Wow. Well, you know, it's is 5:59 on the dot, and we have covered a lot. What I would like for you to do once again is to provide my listeners with your information, because you know I know that you are readily available, that you are a wealth of information, and if you can provide the information, you know, your contact information, that would be wonderful.
Thank you again for inviting me. I had a great time.
Thank you.
My telephone number is 914-665-0726. My fax number, 914-665-0415. My website is upbcpa.com. And you can email me at una@upbcpa.com. And I don't charge for a question.
Very, very good. I really appreciate that.
No problem. And in closing, let me say, don't forget to report all income and respond to all notices, because that's how most people get in trouble.
Mm.
Other than that, you don't have to be afraid of Uncle Sam.
and on that note, you know, again, I just like to say thank you so much again for being a guest on the show, and I hope that maybe we'll have you back again in April.
My pleasure. Thank you.
As we get closer to the 15th, yes, thank you.
All right. Okay, have
a
good evening.
Bye-bye. Good night. Okay, bye-bye. Well, everyone, I hope that information was very helpful to each and every one of you. And I look forward in having everyone back next week. And our guest is going to be Dr. Giminelli. He is actually a dentist, and his practice is called the 21st Century. He's actually located in the city of Yonkers on Warburton Avenue, and he's going to share a lot of information about, you know, dental health and how it's important to make sure that our teeth are healthy, because when our teeth are healthy, our bodies are healthy. So, you know, please stay tuned, and he's also doing some wonderful things for the community. So I think you're going to be in for a really, really great treat. So until that time, have a wonderful and healthy week, and we look forward to seeing you next Monday at the Drive at 5, live at 5 o'clock. Good night, everyone.